Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Do the show, bitch.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and
me,
it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 on your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got satin shoes.
2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Ben and Woods on a Wednesday, and we have a busy second half of our show. We just told you, Joe Musgrove, new Padres pitcher and Grossmont High School alum, going to be with us at 8 o'clock this morning. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, Woods, PGA Tour player Charlie Hoffman, coming off a very good finish last week at the Sony Open in Hawaii. He was tied for 14th, a good start to his year. He now heads to the California Swing, which begins tomorrow at the American Express in La Quinta, a tournament that he has won before, by the way, a past champion, and then the Farmers Insurance Open next week. So talk a little golf from Charlie. I wonder if he's had a chance to watch the Tiger Woods documentary, someone he's competed against essentially his entire career, you know, played with before. And, it'd be hard almost to watch that if, you know, you've got to see him and compete against him. Now, they made the announcement yesterday. Tiger is not going to be at the Farmers Insurance Open this year. He had another back surgery, a discectomy, which is, say that five times in a row fast. That's the fifth time he has had back surgery. Yet he anticipates a full recovery after a couple of months, but he's not going to play in any of the California tournaments on the West Coast Swing. So no Farmers, no LA Open in a couple of months. But if all goes well, he should be back for Florida Swing and certainly hopefully in time for the Masters coming up in April at Augusta. But no Tiger at Torrey next week this year.
The documentary, which has aired on HBO, was unbelievable. I feel incredibly, incredibly shortchanged by the documentary. Could, you know, they gave us 10 hours on Jordan. Well worth it. I mean, just saved our ass in a pinch. There's no doubt about it. Plus, it was riveting, riveting content from, you know, stem to stern. Same with this one from Tiger. This one ran about, what, hour and a half each episode, roughly? So about three hours of a Tiger Woods documentary. And I could have used... No BS, I could have used at least two more parts, a four-part special. And frankly, to be honest with you, I could have used more golf. I could have used more proof of his dominance, more evidence of his dominance.
You know, if you put it all together, the Michael Jordan documentary was hour-long, 10 episodes, hour-long, but also with commercials. So, I don't know, the total amount of content was probably... 7 to 8 hours of content. The Tiger Woods was 3 full hours with no commercials at all. So it was, I mean, it was somewhat comparable, not quite as long as Jordan, but
I felt, I thought it was amazing. I thought they did such a great job on it, but I wanted more. It left me wanting more. So part two obviously starts with, you know, a little bit of the downfall and just kind of the spiral after his dad dies. His dad, Earl, passed away, and they had a very, I think, weird is a good way to put that relationship. It was weird. It was weird. He'd been grooming Tiger his entire life to be not only a really good golfer, in fact, the best golfer in the world, but to be a spiritual healer, a Gandhi of sorts, someone that was going to transcend race, somebody that was going to transcend everything and bring communities and people together. The weird part is, I think Tiger did a lot of that. I think he did. I think that, you know, if you look at the numbers of African-American people that started playing golf after Tiger Woods, it's astounding. I mean, he literally introduced that game to them and said, yeah, it's okay. This is not just a lily-white rich man sport.
Programs like the First Tee, you know, inner-city golf programs that popped up over the last 20 years, that is all the Tiger Woods effect. You can give him virtually 100%
yes.
of the credits for all of those programs that have benefited many kids throughout the country in different communities, for sure.
So it was very fascinating to see when Earl passed away. The end of part one, they show him, and I believe he's at the British, and he's in that Zen state. Like, I'm here, I'm cool, my dad's gone, but he's right there with me, made some incredible shots.
Maybe a little numb.
A little numb, yeah. So the one kind of underlying theme of this whole documentary is Tiger's ability to compartmentalize his feelings. What's going on in my personal life will have no effect, zero effect on my golf game, and vice versa. You know, he was able to do that.
Also, what's going on in one part of his personal life is compartmentalized from other parts.
Correct.
Of his personal life. His relationship with his wife and his kids really seemed to have no relation to his relationship with his mistresses
yep.
and his women in Las Vegas. I don't think he loved, you know, he loved his wife and kids any less because he was cheating on them. That was simply a different part of his life, a different Tiger Woods.
Well, and that's nobody, literally nobody did it better than him. And as far as keeping, you know, golf, this here, this there, different buckets, if you will. But it shows the really interesting part of his life where he is going to, he needs something else. He's searching, right? He's searching. So he starts going to train with the Navy SEALs. Which, when you look at Tiger Woods, Ben, you know, in his early days, you look at him and you don't look at Tiger Woods and go, wow, what a badass that guy is, right? They even said in his little entourage of him, Jordan, and Barkley, he was kind of the dork. He was kind of a dorky guy, kind of nerdy, kind of had a nerdy voice. Hey, how are you? I'm Tiger Woods. Like, he just was a golf savant. But he started going to train with the Navy SEALs. And it was like, it's the weirdest thing. It just doesn't make any sense why he needed or felt he needed to do that. And it really, it set him back. I mean, it injured him pretty greatly. So they actually,
and they talk about this, if you didn't watch the documentary, they actually shot him with, like, the rubber bullet
yeah.
ammunition.
Oh, and they loved it.
Yeah, they said, you shoot me wherever you want, just not in the hands.
Don't shoot it. Do not shoot Tiger Woods in the hands. Do not, because we don't want to be the guys that broke Tiger Woods. So he's training and everything else. And then, you know,
by the way, a serious Pat Tillman vibe there. You know, remember Pat Tillman, who gave up his NFL career to become an Army Ranger?
Yeah.
Steve Williams, his caddy, actually said, Tiger at one point said, I think I'm just going to give up golf.
Yeah.
And I want to be a Navy SEAL. I don't want to play golf anymore.
And Stevie said, you're insane. You're insane. So he was clearly searching for something. And what he filled that void with was women. And he would go to Vegas, and there were hostesses, and it got gnarly. I mean, it got to the point where they said, and again, it's not him saying it, but, you know, you believe these people if you're watching this documentary. Yeah, up to 10 women at a time. Even oversexed Ben couldn't handle 10 women at a time.
Carnal relations.
Playing gin with all of them. It's wild. And you see him become just more and more vacant. He's just, my wife looked at it. She goes, he's absolutely dead inside. And he was. He was dead inside. Just numb to everything. So the show it all, and then you see the downfall. You see the day before Thanksgiving. Then you see what happened and the wrecked SUV and the meteoric What, is it a meteoric fall as well as a meteoric rise?
Meteors do fall down to the ground, yeah.
This one fell as hard as anybody could ever imagine. And you just, I mean, you're watching, your stomach hurts. You're like, oh, my God, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. So he does the apology, which was just the weirdest thing ever, gets up, does a press conference. I know I've let you guys down, et cetera, et cetera. He's got a brand. He's got a $100 million.
Finishes
brand.
Awkwardly, hugs his mother
Yeah, very, very strange.
Everyone's just watching, kind of dumbfounded in silence.
Can't believe it.
I mean, I remember that press conference.
Yeah, and you just can't believe it. And so then we get to the Masters. And Tiger Woods is going to play the Masters. After all of this has gone down, the dust, I would say, has settled a little bit. People are still in shock. They can't believe it. Dust has settled. And then Billy Payne, chairman of Augusta National, steps to the podium and delivers this.
We are not unaware of the significance of this week to a very special player, Tiger Woods. It is not simply the degree of his conduct that is so egregious here. It is the fact that he disappointed all of us, and more importantly, our kids and our grandkids. Our hero did not live up to the expectations of the role model we sought for our children. Is there a way forward? We at Augusta hope and pray that our great champion will begin his new life here tomorrow in a positive, hopeful, and constructive manner. But certainly his future will never again be measured only by his performance against par, but measured by the sincerity of his efforts to change.
Oh, whew. God. Oh, my God. First of all, the balls, the giant balls on Billy Payne.
I think there's some people out there who are listening going, what's the big deal? I mean, he's asking for better behavior.
He didn't murder someone.
Well, that's the thing. And I, you know, at the time, I probably didn't have the reaction that you had right now watching that.
Me sick to my stomach.
But when they described and they pointed out so accurately, would he have done that if it was Freddie Couples?
No.
Would he have done that if it was
Phil Mickelson? No.
Another golfer?
No. He wouldn't have. They absolutely would not have. Now, I get it. None of those guys were at Tiger's level. Brian Gumbel said on it, it was a public whipping. And you're talking about the chairman of the Masters, which was a slave plantation that just now started letting women in about 7 years ago. Settle down. Billy Payne, number one, with your public flogging of Tiger Woods. I couldn't agree more. It made me sick to my stomach. Like, it made me grow. I was grossed out by the entire thing. And at the end of the day, I went, that's his personal business. He can do whatever he wants when he's not at your country club.
Yes, but also, let me ask you this. Because the suggestion, I don't know if it was Bryant Gumbel or Armin Katane who made it, who said, Tiger shouldn't have even apologized.
No question about it.
He owed his wife and family an apology. But for everyone else, he's a golfer. You enjoy Tiger Woods because you like watching him play golf. He's done it better than anyone else. He doesn't owe you an apology or anyone else.
What law did he break?
An apology.
What law did he break?
Okay, I understood that. But when you accept, you know, big endorsement contracts, things like that.
Sure. Oh, yeah, there's morals clauses.
Do you have to – you held to a higher standard? I mean,
yeah,
the companies – is there a contract, though, with your public as well? In like you're going to comport yourself with a certain amount of, you know, dignity and respect if you're going to be that public figure and you're going to enjoy the trappings of your fame and the money that comes along with it. Does that require you to live a squeakier – private life than, you know, maybe a private citizen who's not in the public eye, who's not reaping all those benefits of fame? I think there's a question there.
I don't think there's any question. I you know, look, a professional athlete cheats on his wife, news at 11. I mean, seriously, it you know, I'm not excusing his behavior, but he owes nobody any. Yeah, you want to sit down with Phil Knight and say, man, I really stepped in it, Phil. I understand if you want to pull my Nike sponsorship. Hey, guys at Buick, sorry about that. you know, but we're working it out. We're going to, you know, the kids, everything else. It's none of your effing business. And it's especially not Billy Payne's business to get up there and, you know, again, publicly whip this guy. It made me sick to my stomach.
You make a good point. If there was a truth serum, if everything became public knowledge about all of your favorite
professional
athletes.
You wouldn't like sports.
All of a sudden, you would be shocked. Maybe you wouldn't be shocked, but you'd go like, well, why did we treat Tiger like that when there were hundreds and hundreds of other famous professional athletes who've engaged in similar behavior? When Tiger first started, you know, seeing these women in Vegas, the guys who were there with him, who took him, were Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley. You think they weren't doing some of the same things while Tiger was doing? Do you think he just figured out on his own, hey, guys, I know you're just going to, you know, have some wholesome fun, play a little blackjack. I'm going to go head off with these women while you guys are doing that. No, he got the idea from them. Of course he did.
You know who didn't do a press conference and apologize? Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan. 100%. So that bothered me to no end. I was really grossed out and disturbed by the treatment there. So then fast forward. So, again, the injuries hit. It's gnarly. I mean, you hear at one point his knee kind of break when he's playing at Torrey Pines.
Did they add that sound
they
effect?
Added
I
it.
Wasn't sure.
They added it, I think, but it was...
made me sick to my stomach.
Me too. But the best part is he had just started his round at Torrey Pines. It was U.S. Open, 2008?
Eight.
And he's awful. I mean, he squirts one into the woods. He, you know, battling out. He wrecks his knee again. He had just had surgery. And his caddy, Stevie, goes, Tiger, you got to quit. Like, and he looked at him, he goes, F you, Stevie. I'm winning this tournament. He won it. It was like he would hit a ball and go, and fall down. Like, he was in just the most tremendous amount of pain. He wins that one, goes through more injuries. And then, guys, let's talk about, I don't know that a line on television has ever made me jump out of my chair and go, are you effing kidding me? I rewound it and rewound it and rewound it 100 times. I think Armin Katayan has delivered the greatest line in TV history.
It was so fun talking to him last week.
Yes.
The executive producer of the documentary wrote the book that the documentary is based on. And talking about Tiger after going through the depths of where he was, all the injuries, the controversy, coming back to the Masters.
Back at the Masters, and he's playing really well. He's on the leaderboard. He's in the
2019.
He's in the second to the last group, right? And he is paired with Francisco Molinari, correct? On that last day, on that Sunday. Ahead of him is Tony Finau and Brooks Koepka, I believe, battling it out for the lead. Tiger, I believe, was 3 strokes off the lead to start the day. This is what Armin Katayan delivered. It's number one in my book.
There's a whole generation of tour pros that grew up idolizing Tiger. But they never played him at his peak, never saw the shots that they only can see on YouTube now. And there were some pros who said, I can't wait to get into the hunt with Tiger on a Sunday in a major. The f*** you do. You have no idea what you're getting into.
Are you kidding me? The hair on the back of my neck stood up. So then it shows. And I'll tell you, it shows Francisco Molinari. And I know you can manipulate it to look any way you want. The guy looks like he's about to crap his pants. He looks pale. He looks sick because he's in a group with Tiger Woods. He gets up on 12. Very narrow fairway. And it looks to be a fairly standard, you know,
it's
just
a short par three. Most famous hole probably at Augusta. Maybe the most famous golf hole in the world.
Right. He gets up there. Tiger standing there, red shirt, skin tight, buff Tiger, arms kind of crossed, just waiting. And he knocks it in the water. And you see Tiger, and then they show Brooks Koepka shot in the water. Show Tony Finau shot in the water. Here, can Tiger take advantage? Steps up, whoosh, bloop, right on the green, just nails it. And it's just like, oh, my God. Yeah, the F you do. Yeah, I can't wait to be paired with Tiger. He will stare you down. And he will rip your soul out. And that's exactly what he did. I called my dad yesterday. We were talking about it. I go, Dad, I was such a jackass about golf. I missed all this. I missed all of it. I feel like a real jackass. So you listening out there, open your mind a little bit you know, because that's what I've done this year. And it's like a whole new world for me.
It's I want him to get healthy just because I want to see.
Oh, me too.
I want to see him at Augusta again at Torrey this summer.
Me too.
With a chance to compete, with a chance to stare those guys down one more time on a Sunday.
My dad,
maybe even, you know, creep a little closer to Jack Nicklaus. I don't think he'll get there now.
He's got what, 15?
15. Jack's got 18. I don't think there's three more major wins in there. But
my dad said yesterday, he goes, you know, if he gets healthy, he goes, he can win two more Masters. He knows that course like the back of his hand. He goes, if he can find one more of the other three, if he
maybe
can
Torrey, where he's won eight times in his career.
If he can figure out a way to just get one of those, he goes, I really believe he can get two more Masters.
But he needs to get healthy.
Got
to
get
so,
healthy.
So, that, I mean, you have to check it out if you haven't. Highest recommendation from both Ben and Woods on Tiger, the HBO documentary from Armin Katan, who joined us last week. We're running a little long. We'll talk more. Charlie Hoffman will join us at the bottom of the hour. PGA Tour Pro, show favorite here. But Don't Do This is coming up next, Woods. Got an update on that Tennessee recruiting scandal that we mentioned yesterday. Some of the details are real Don't Do This material
Can't
on
wait.
What got Tennessee into hot water. That's coming up next. Right now, let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.